This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayechi, and we are going to focus our shir on chapter 48, verse number 22. Before we do that, we have to discuss what is happening in the Parsha. In the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov asks Yosef that when he dies, Yosef should bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and Yosef swears to this effect. But it's just interesting to know that when Yaakov makes his request, Yaakov says that you should do to me chesed ve'emes, a kindness and a truth, and do not bury me in Egypt. Rashi explains, what does it mean, a kindness and a truth? Rashi says that chesed she'oisem imames, that kindness that people do for the dead person, that is considered a kindness of truth, meaning a genuine kindness. Because it does not look forward to reciprocation, it doesn't look forward to getting paid for it, meaning it's a true kindness. And Yosef swears to that effect. Then Yosef finds out that his father is sick, and Yosef brings his sons Ephraim and Manasseh to be blessed by the father. And then Yaakov says that Hashem had promised me that I'm going to have two more children, because he said, Goy, Ukahal Goyim, a nation, a congregation of nations, will come out of you. And Rashi explains that Goy means Binyamin, and Kahal Goyim, a congregation of nations, obviously it means other children. And therefore, since Yaakov did not have any other children, Yaakov is giving this right to have Kahal Goyim, a congregation of children, to Yosef, that Ephraim and Manasseh are considered like Reuven and Shimon, that they are going to be part of the tribes in the flag system, in the inauguration offerings, and so forth. And then Yaakov gives a special blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh. And then on verse number 21, the verse says, Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, Israel tells Yaakov, Inenoi chimeis, behold, I am dying, Vayo Elohim imachem, and Hashem will be with you, and he'll return you to the land of your forefathers. And now we get to the pasuk that's going to be the focus of our shiur. Yaakov tells Yosef, Vani and I, Nosati lecho, have given to you, Shchem achad alachecho. We're going to see how we translate the word Shchem, but we're first going to go translate according to Rashi's first interpretation, which I give you, Shchem, the place of Shechem, Achad Alochecho, this is going to be a portion more than your brothers, Ashelokachti Miyadu Emoiri, that I took from the hand of the Amorite, Becharbi, with my sword, Uvekashti, and with my bow. Rashi on the words, Vani Nosati Lecho, and I have given you, Rashi says, Lefi She'ato Toireach Leisasek Bikvurasi, because you are going to the trouble of involving yourself in my burial, the gam ani nosati lecha nachlo shetikaver bo, I too have given you a heritage, a place to be buried, veize, and which is the place Shechem. I'm giving you Shechem, as it's written in Yeshua chapter 24, verse number 32, ves atzmos Yosef, and the bones of Yosef asher elu mimitzrayim, that the Jewish people brought from Egypt, kavru b'Shechem, they buried in Shechem. And why specifically Shechem? The Medrash already explains that since they stole him from Shechem, they give him back to Shechem. They give the example of thieves that stole a barrel full of wine, and the owner found that they stole the barrel full of wine. The owner begs the thieves, please, after you finish drinking the wine, put back the barrel in its place. The same thing, since they stole Yosef from Shechem, because Yosef went to look for his brothers in Shechem, and that's where they sold them. Therefore, make sure to bring him back from where you took him, and therefore Yosef was buried in Shechem. The Tror Amor gives two explanations why specifically Yosef was buried in Shechem. And one interpretation is that since Yosef married Osnas Bas Potiphera, but the Medrash brings down that Osnas was not the daughter of Potiphera, she was the adopted daughter of Potiphera. Osnas was really the daughter from Dinah, from the relations that she had with Shechem, meaning that after Shechem forced her, she became pregnant and she had Asnas. And according to the Midrash, Yaakov Avinu was afraid that the brothers are going to harm her. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu wrote a Kameya, a piece of parchment, and said that whoever marries this girl is marrying one of the daughters of Yaakov, and he sent her off to Egypt with the angel Gabriel, and she was adopted by Potiphar. And when Yosef became viceroy, all the women threw their jewelry on him, and Asnas threw the Kameya, the parchment, on Yosef. And as soon as Yosef saw this Kameya, then Yosef decided that he's going to marry her. And since Asnas is the daughter of Shechem, therefore, according to the Tzruah Moir, Asnas inherited her father. And therefore, when Asnas died, Yosef inherits that portion, and therefore Yosef was buried in Shechem. Or the Tzruah Moir says, could be that Shechem gave the place of Shechem as a gift on the Ksuba to Dinah, and therefore, since Asnas inherits Dinah, then automatically Yosef gets that place. In other words, it's not because Shechem died and that goes to Dinah, it's because Dinah received this in the Ksuba, and therefore Yosef gets the place. Rashi continues and interprets the rest of the Pasuk that it says that I took from the Amorite Becharbi with my sword, Uvekashti, and my bow. Rashi explains that when Shimon and Levi killed the people of Shechem, then all the neighboring nations gathered to engage in battle against the Jewish people, and Yaakov girded his weapons of war, and that's what Yaakov is saying here. The Chazkuni adds that is not to say that there actually was a war, but there was intention to go to war, but as soon as they saw that Yaakov girded his sword and bow, then there was no war. But there was an intention to go to war, therefore Yaakov got ready for war. But we don't find anywhere that there actually was a war after the killing of the people of Shechem. The problem that we have with Rashi's interpretation is that Rashi seems to be contradicting himself. Rashi says that Yaakov is telling Yosef that I am giving you Shechem as a reward for your troubles in bearing me. And yet, in the beginning of the parsha, we explained that Rashi says that Yaakov asked Yosef to make a chesed v'emes, a kindness and truth, and we explained that a kindness you do with that person is called a kindness of truth, because you don't expect retribution, you don't expect payment for it, and yet Yaakov here is offering a payment for Yosef for burying him in Eretz Yisrael. Because he says, I'm giving you Shechem as a portion for you extra because you are going through the trouble of bearing Eretz Yisrael. In truth, this question is only according to Rashi. It's not according to the Tzruah Moir. Because according to the Tzruah Moir, Yaakov is not giving Yosef anything that he wouldn't have anyways. Because according to the Tzruah Moir, Shechem belonged to Yosef via Asnas or via Dinah. But nonetheless, technically, Yaakov is not giving anything to Yosef. But according to Rashi, how does Rashi explain that he asked for chesed ve'emes, true in kindness, where he don't expect retribution, and then Yaakov says, I'm giving you Shechem as a payment for you bearing me in Eretz Yisrael? The truth is that this question is really not such a great question, because we could say that Yaakov originally wanted Yosef to do a chesed ve'emes, a true in kindness, and when Yaakov makes Yosef swear that he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef does not expect at that moment any retribution. Yaakov did not promise him at that point to give him anything in return for the burial. And nonetheless, Yosef swore that Yosef really made a chesed shel emes, a true kindness, because he did not expect retribution. But afterwards, Yaakov decided that he's going to give an extra portion to Yosef for burying him in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshat Tzadik Zayin, Siman Vav, plays with the word and says that Shechem comes from the word get up, Hishkim, get up early in the morning. And the Medrash says, Ben Shehishkim, a child that got up, that was ready, Velo Yosiso Kemaseyem, and didn't commit immorality like they did, meaning a son, Yosef, which didn't commit immorality with the wife of Potiphar, like Reuven who was the Bechar did with Bilhah, or like Yehuda who was the Gibor, the strong man, did with Tamar, then he deserves the Shechem to be in his portion. Meaning, I'm giving you Shechem because, playing with the words, you got up early, meaning that you were able to stay steadfast and not commit immorality, unlike Reuven, who committed with Bilhah, and unlike Yehuda, who committed immorality with Tamar. Therefore, it's only fair that you should get that portion. Then the Medrash gives another reason why specifically Shechem. He says, Omar Rav Pinchas says, B'Shechem nifritza o erva, in Shechem immorality became big, meaning that up to Shechem, all the nations of the world were curbing themselves in immorality. Nobody ever forced another woman to have relations, and Shechem broke that down when he forced himself on Dinah. Therefore, it's only proper that you, who were able to refrain from doing immorality, even under heavy temptations by the wife of Potiphar, that you should get that portion as a gift. The Banel does not like Rashi's interpretation that this is referring to the city of Shechem, because if it is referring to the city of Shechem, then theoretically Yaakov Avinu did not give anything to Yosef, because since in the book of Yeshua it's written that Shechem fell in the portion of Yosef, then what did Yaakov give to Yosef? This was automatically his portion. Therefore, Rabbi Banel says that Yaakov Avinu is telling Yosef that in the same way that I'm asking you to bury me in Maarat HaMachpelah, which was the plot of land that Avraham Avinu bought, so too I am giving you as a present a plot of land that you should be buried, and that is the land that I bought, the first land that I ever bought, and that is the land that it's written in Bereshit chapter 33, verse number 19, where it's written there that Yaakov bought the plot of land where his tent was from the hands of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 ksita. That land Yaakov Avinu is now giving to Yosef extra, where that land Yosef is going to be buried. Meaning it's not referring to the land of Shechem, because Shechem wasn't taken by Yaakov, it was taken by the children of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi. Then Yaakov cannot claim that he conquered Becharbi Uvekashti with his sword and his bow. Therefore, the Barbanel says that this is referring to the land that Yaakov actually bought, where his tent was, where that was the land that belonged to Yaakov. It was Yaakov's, he already inherited, so it actually took already the land, and that land he's giving to Yosef. Then the Barbanel asks, what does it mean then that Yaakov took Becharbi Uvekashti with his saw and his bow? The Barbanel explains that these are the things that allow you to take things, meaning in the same way that a sword and a bow allows you to conquer places, Yaakov Avinu used the things that he had to conquer places, meaning he had sheep and cattle, and he took the sheep and cattle and sold, and he made money, and from there he bought the land from Hamor, the father of Shechem. And that's what he means, this is my sword and this is my bow. These are the things that allow me to get money. Meaning, what I took with my bow and my sword means my cattle and my sheep, that through them I had the money, and they are like my sword and like my bow. As a matter of fact, the Alshach in the end of Yeshua, Chof Dalet writes that in fact the portion that Yaakov brought for 100 ksita was technically supposed to be divided by all the tribes, but the tribes decided to give this to Yosef in order to achieve certain kind of atonement for the sale of Yosef. He says that since they stole his body from there, therefore it's only proper that they should pay for his burial, for his place to be buried. Meaning that they forfeited this land that was Yaakov's, that Yaakov bought for 100 ksita, which should be divided technically by all the tribes. They all decided that they're going to forfeit them in order for Yosef to be buried there. Like that, they will have certain kapara, because since each one had 20 pieces of silver when they stole them, now they are forfeiting 100 ksipa, to show that they are really repentant for the sale of Yosef. The Medrash Rabbah gives another interpretation, what is Shechem Echad, what is a special portion. The Medrash Rabbah explains Zia Bechoira, that is the right to be the firstborn, which he already given before, because he made Ephraim Menashe like Reuven and Shimon. But then he says, Ulevushoi shel Adam Arishon, that he gave Yosef the clothing of Adam Arishon, meaning that in Bereishis, after Adam Arishon sinned, Hashem dressed them with kasnas oir, with clothing of skin. That clothing, which signifies royalty and the mantle of leadership, Yaakov Avinu gave it now to Yosef Atzadik. Where did he get this clothing? That's why he says, Ashalokachti miyad amori, that I took from the Amorite. The Amorite here is referring to Esav, because Esav took this clothing from Nimrod, and when Yaakov was impersonating Esav, when he got the blessing, he dressed in those clothing. Yaakov took those clothing with him, and now Yaakov is giving this clothing to Yosef HaTzadik. The Medrash continues and asks a question. It's written that Yaakov took this from the Amori, and if you say Esav, why is Esav called Amori? The Medrash answers, she also masa Amori, because Esav was doing the actions of the Amorites, meaning the Amorites were idol worshippers and they did immorality. Esav also did idol worshipping and immorality. Therefore, he is called as an Amori. Rashi also is going to say that Amori means Esav, and Rashi gives the first interpretation of the Medrash, that Esav did the actions of the Amori. But the second interpretation, Rashi plays with the word and says the Amori comes from the language Omar that he speaks, meaning that Esav used to speak a lot, he used to fool his father by his speech. Therefore, Esav is called Amori, not Amorite, but Amori, the speaker, the person who speaks all the time. Then the Medrash asks a question, what does it mean that you took from him Becharbi uvekashti, my sword and my bow? The Medrash answers that it's mitzvahs and masim toivim, that the mitzvahs and the good deed that a person does, those are his sword and bow, and through the merit of the good deeds and following the commandments of Hashem, Yaakov had the merit to take the clothing of Adam HaRishon. Yaakov is giving those clothing of Adam HaRishon to Yosef HaTzadik. Just as a side note, we must say that this Medrash is in conflict if the other Medrash that says that the Ksoines Pasim, the multicolored clothing that Yaakov Avinu had previously given to Yosef HaTzadik, was the cloth of Adam HaRishon, because since that Ksoines Pasim was torn and was dipped in blood, clearly Yaakov would not give it now to Yosef HaTzadik again. So we must say that there are different interpretations of the Medrash. In the same vein that the Medrash Rabbah explains that what Yaakov gave Yosef was something that belonged to Adam HaRishon, meaning his clothing, the Yalkut Shimoni in Shemos, Remes Kuf Samach Ches, says that really what Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef was the staff of Adam HaRishon, which is the staff that is written there, the Tzach Adash Bachav, which is eventually going to be the staff that is going to come to Moshe Rabbeinu and is going to use this staff to make all the miracles in Egypt. And the Yalkut Shimoni explains how did the staff get to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he explains that after Hashem finished creating the whole world, then he created that staff, as the Mishnah in Avos says, that this was created Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes, right before sundown. And that staff was given to Adam when he left Gan Eden. Eventually that staff came to Noah, and it came to Shem, and it came to Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu gave everything that he had to Yitzchak, the Yalkut Shimoni says that means that he gave this staff to Yitzchak. Yitzchak had it in his house, and Esav liked it. But when Yaakov Avinu ran away, then Yaakov Avinu took this staff from Esav, Becharboi Vekashto, with his sword and bow, which means that he forced it out of Esav, or he used his prayer to get this staff out of Esav. He took it with him to Paddan Aram. That is the staff that he's giving now to Yosef HaTzadik. After the death of Yosef HaTzadik, the king's people went into Yosef the Tzaddik's place and they took the staff and they put the staff in the treasury of Paroi, Yisroi liked the staff and coveted the staff. And when Yisroi had to run away from Egypt because he told Paroi not to kill the Jewish people, then Yisroi took the staff. And when Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from Egypt to Yisroi's place, then eventually Moshe Rabbeinu got this staff. Now we are going to bring Rashi's second interpretation, which Rashi says that what it means that I gave you Shechem Echot, I gave you one portion more than your brothers, that is the right of the firstborn, meaning that you are going to get one extra portion more than your brothers. It's not meaning the city of Shechem. It means that I'm giving you an extra portion that your children are going to inherit double. And this right I got Miyad Huemoiri from the Amorite, which it means Esav, meaning that I took this birthright from Esav. I bought it from Esav. Becharabi Vekashti, Rashi says, Huchachmosi Tfilosi, through my wisdom and my prayer. Meaning that the right of the firstborn that Yaakov Avinu had taken from Esav, that right he is giving now to Yosef, and therefore Yosef's children take the portion of the firstborn. In truth, this is what is written in the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Chav Gimel 123a. But Old Meforshim asks a question on what Yaakov did that seemingly Yaakov directly contradicted a verse in the Torah. The verse is in Dvarim, chapter 21, verse number 15 to verse number 17, where there we have the Torah saying that if a man is going to have two wives, a beloved one and a hated one, and they are going to bear him children, the beloved one and the hated one, and the firstborn is going to be from the hated one, it will be in the day that he'll inherit to his children, he's not allowed to give the right of the firstborn to the son of the loved one instead of the son of the hated one. Rather, he should recognize the son of the hated one as the firstborn to give him a double portion on everything that is found to him, because his first vigor to him is the right of the firstborn. So we see clearly that when you have a beloved wife and a hated wife, and the firstborn is going to be from the hated wife, nonetheless, you have to make him the firstborn. And theoretically, this seems to be the story of Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Yaakov has two wives, Leah, which is described as the hated one, and Rachel, which the Torah describes as the beloved one, and they have children, and Leah has the firstborn, and yet, when Yaakov comes to inherit to his children, he makes Yosef the firstborn, and he doesn't recognize Reuven as the firstborn. And theoretically, if you do that, you transgress a negative commandment, because it says, Lo yucha levaka, you're not allowed to make him firstborn, the beloved one, and also a positive commandment, because the Torah tells you that you should recognize the son of the hated one as the firstborn, and to give him a double portion. Then Mefarshim asks, how is it possible that Yaakov made Yosef the Bechor, when in actuality, the Sephorna answers that this prohibition is only if you are doing it because of the mother that you hate. Meaning, the Torah tells you that just because you hate the mother, that is not a reason you should not make the son the firstborn. But when the son himself acts in a bad way by disrespecting his father, like Reuven did, then the son forfeited the right of the firstborn, then you could do whatever you want. The Dazakenian Baal Tosfos says also the same answer that the Sephorna says, but he also adds another answer, and he says that this prohibition against making the firstborn of the loved one, the firstborn, for him to get double, is only when you do not owe a debt of gratitude for the son of the loved one. But if you owe a debt of gratitude for the son of the loved one, then you are entitled to make him the Bechor, and you're entitled to give him a double portion. And he explains that since Yosef HaTzadik supported Yaakov, then Yaakov owed a debt of gratitude to Yosef. In that case, Yaakov has the right to switch the right of firstbornship from Reuven to Yosef. In truth, the Sefona is right, and technically you could transfer property from one child to another child if the child does not behave properly. But the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Lamed Gimel, Amad Beis 133b says that this is the minority opinion of Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. But the halacha follows that we should not transfer inheritance even from a bad child to a good child, which means that even though Reuven was behaving badly, nonetheless we should not transfer the inheritance from Reuven to Yosef. Then how did Yaakov Avinu do that, that he transferred the inheritance from Reuven to Yosef? And besides this question of transferring the inheritance, we have to understand the meaning of the verse. The verse here says that I'm giving you the double portion, meaning the portion of the firstborn, that I took from Esav with my prayer. What difference is if Yaakov took the firstborn from Esav or didn't take the firstborn from Esav? Let's say a person is not a firstborn. He has an older sister, and that person has children, and amongst his children he has a bechor, a firstborn. Won't that firstborn get automatically the right of having two portions? The fact that he himself is not a firstborn doesn't make any difference in regards to the firstbornship of his children. Then why does Yaakov say that I'm giving you the firstbornship which I brought from Esav? What's the difference? What he bought from Esav? The fact that he has a firstborn child, that automatically gives that child the right of the firstborn. Then what is the connection to Esav? Sefer Mamar Mordechai answers in a very interesting way. Sefer Mamar Mordechai brings the Rashi in beginning of Parshas Toldos, Rashi on chapter 25, verse number 26, there it says that afterwards came his brother and his hand is holding in the heels of Esav, meaning when Yaakov was born, Yaakov was holding the heels of Esav. Rashi brings that there is a message that says that he had the right to hold back and hold it. Why? Because Yaakov was born from the first vigor of Yitzchak, and Esav was born from the second vigor. And Rashi continues and says that if you have a tube and you have two stones, the first stone that you put in will come out last. Meaning that since it's a narrow tube and only could come out one at each time, then the first one that goes in comes out last. Therefore, Yaakov was the first one to be created. He was the second one to come out. Therefore, he had the right to hold on to the heels of Esav because he was created first. And Sefer Mamar Mordechai also brings an interesting Rashi on Bereishis chapter 37, verse number 35, where there Yaakov thinks that Yosef is dead and Yaakov cannot be consoled. The verse says, Vayokumu kol bonov v'chol bnoisov lanachmoy, that all his sons and all his daughters came out to console him, vayimoyen leisnachem, and he refused to be consoled. Rashi is bothered by the question, how can the Torah say that all his daughters came to console him when he only had one daughter that we know of? We only know of Dinah. Rashi, on his first answer, brings the opinion of Rav Yudah, that Rav Yudah says, Achyois to umois noldu im kol shevet v'shevet, that a twin sister was born with every tribe, venosum, and they married them, meaning that Reuven, when Reuven was born, he had a twin, and Shimon was born, he had a twin, and eventually the twins of this mother married the twins of the other mothers, but nonetheless, each child that was born had a twin. And since in our parsha of the week it says, in chapter 49, verse number 3, Reuven, b'choy riato, you are my firstborn, koichi, you are my strength, v'reishis oini, you are my first vigor, that means that Reuven was the first vigor of Yaakov. And since there were twins, then we have to again give the example of the two rocks going into a narrow tube. That means that Reuven was created first, that Reuven is the first one to go in, then afterwards the twin comes in. That means that when it comes out, his twin, his girl twin, comes out first. That means automatically that Reuven is not the Paterechem. He is not the first who comes out of the womb of Leah. He is the second one to come out of the womb of Leah. Therefore, since he is the second one to come out of the womb of Leah, then Reuven himself does not deserve to be the firstborn, because the firstborn is only the first one who comes out of the womb. And since, according to Rashi, according to Rav Yehuda, Reuven had a twin, and Reuven was the first figure, then we have to apply the same thing that Rashi says regarding Yaakov, that since Yaakov was created first, therefore Yaakov came out second, and therefore Reuven came out second. And Sefer Mamar Mordechai explains that this is what Yaakov is trying to say. Yaakov is trying to say to Yosef that don't worry about me giving you the double portion, that you think I'm taking this double portion from Reuven and thereby I'm transgressing the Torah law that tells me that I'm not allowed to make the son of the loved one, the Bechor, over the son of the hated one. That is not true, because in the same way that I had to buy from Esav my Bechorah, why did I have to buy from Esav my firstborn sheep if I was created first, if I was the first vigor of Yitzchak? And the reason is because since Esav came out first, even though he wasn't the first vigor, nonetheless, I didn't have the right of the firstborn. I had to buy the firstborn sheep. The same way happens to Reuven, that even though Reuven was my first vigor, but since the girl came out first, then Reuven has really no right to be the firstborn, and therefore I could give you this double portion, and you don't have to be afraid that I'm transgressing the prohibition against giving the double portion, because I had to do the same thing for Esav, and this is the same situation that Reuven is in now. The Chazam Sofer answers simply that since it's written in Parshas Kisetze on chapter 21, verse number 17, Kies Abachoyer ben Apsnua Yakir, that you recognize the firstborn, the son of the hated one, Losses Loi Pishnaim, to give him a double portion, Bechol Asher Imotzeloi, on everything that is found with him. And Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Bechoyeres, Daf Nun Beis Omet Aleph 52a, Mikan, from here we learn, meaning from the fact that the Torah writes down in the language, Bechol Asher Imotzeloi, everything that is found with him, meaning something that is already found, and the Torah does not say, Bechol Asher Ieloi, that everything that will have, that means to tell you, She'en Abachoyer Noitel Pishnaim, that the firstborn does not take a double portion, Beroy Lovoy Lachas Mrs. Aviv, in something that is fit to come into the state after the father's death, kebemuchzak, as he does when something is already here in the possession of the father. Meaning that a firstborn does not get on everything that the father will have a double portion. He only gets a double portion if what the father has. Meaning that if property is going to come to the state of the father after the death of the father, then the firstborn will get an even portion if everybody else. If the property is already in the possession of the father, then the firstborn gets a double portion. But the potential property that is going to come from the father, then the firstborn does not get a double portion. And an example for this is a promissory note. Let's say the father has a promissory note that somebody owes him money. That money will eventually come into the state, but right now it's not in the state. In that case, the firstborn son is not going to get a double portion, because since the property is not here yet, then it's called a property that is going to come to the state, and the firstborn son gets an even portion. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that since Eretz Yisrael is something that's eventually going to come to the Jewish people, it's eventually going to come to the people that are going to come into Eretz Yisrael, then theoretically Eretz Yisrael is considered raw, is considered something that will come to the state, but it's not in the state yet. And if that is considered something that is going to come to the state, then theoretically Yaakov Avinu did not transgress the prohibition against not giving a double portion to Reuven, because since Eretz Yisrael is not theirs yet, therefore he did not transgress. The Chasam Sofer asks a question, how can he say, the Chasam Sofer say, that Eretz Yisrael is considered Raoy, it's a potential property that will come to us, and it's not actually a property that's in our possession, when the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Gimel Amad Beis 53b says that Eretz Yisrael muhzekes mavoisenu, that Eretz Yisrael is already possessed by our forefathers, meaning it's considered a possession of our forefathers. If it is considered a possession, then Reuven should get a double portion of it, because it's not a potential property that is going to come. The Chasam Sofer answers that there, when I say that Eretz Yisrael is considered our possession, is only in regards of the nations of the world. Meaning, in the same way that when you have a promissory note, people owe you money, you own this promissory note. This promissory note is totally yours, but nonetheless, you cannot say that this promissory note is actually money, because you are still missing the act of collecting it. So too, since Hashem promised that He's going to give us the land of Israel, then the land of Israel automatically becomes our possession. But it's not completely our possession, because it's still missing that we should go in there and conquer it and establish it. It's not our possession until actually the Jewish people come in and take the land. Therefore, since it's not completely our possession, it is considered Raoy, a potential property, and therefore Reuven does not get a double portion. Then the Chasam Sofer asks a question from the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Yutes Amud Alef 119a. There the Gemara is discussing the Benoi Salafchot, the daughter of Salafchot, where in Parshas Pinchas, they come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and they say that our father died in the desert and he didn't leave any sons. Why should our portion be diminished? Because he doesn't have any sons. And there Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem what they should get, and then Hashem tells him that he should give them a portion in the land. The Gemara there says that the daughters of Salafchot received the portion of their fathers, Salafchot, and the portion of their grandfathers amongst the brothers of their fathers, of Hefer, and also the portion of the Bechoira, of the firstborn, meaning Salafchot had a double portion from Hefer, because he was the firstborn, and he gets a double portion. The daughters inherited that double portion that Salafchot should have gotten. The Gemara asks a question, why was Salafchot entitled to a double portion of Eretz Yisrael? Because he was the firstborn of Hefer, we have a rule that Royuhu, that Eretz Yisrael is a prospective asset, meaning we don't have yet Eretz Yisrael. Vein abechor noitel beroi keva muchzak, that the firstborn does not take a double portion in the father's prospective assets, as it does when the father already has the assets, meaning the double portion is only given when the assets are here. The Gemara answers in the name of Rabbe, Eretz Yisrael muchzekesi, that Eretz Yisrael is considered already possessed asset. So we see clearly that even in regards to the Bechoira, to the firstborn, Eretz Yisrael is considered possessed property. Then how can the Chasam Sofer say that since Eretz Yisrael is Raoui, because we don't have it yet, we're eventually going to have it, therefore Yaakov Avinu did not have to give the double portion to Reuven, when the Gemara clearly says regarding Hefer that this is considered already Muhzekes, in the possession of Hefer, and therefore Tzelavchot gets a double portion in Eretz Yisrael? The Chasam Sofer answers that this is only in regards to the people who left Egypt. Since the people who left Egypt potentially are the people that are going to possess Eretz Yisrael, then regarding to them, this is already considered muhzak as they already have it in their possession. But before the generation that went out of Egypt, then Eretz Yisrael was only considered Ra'ui, only considered prospective property, and therefore Yaakov Avinu did not have to give a double portion to Reuven. But then the Chasam Sofer asks from the Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Kof Tes Zayin, 116b, where the Rashbam brings in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel, that when do I say that a Bechor, a firstborn, does not take possession in prospective property, only if he's a firstborn son of a regular person. But if he's a Bechor ben Bechor, meaning if he's a firstborn son of a firstborn, then he takes a double portion even in prospective property. Not only in possessed property, but even Roy, even prospective property, the firstborn, who is a son of a firstborn, would take a double portion. According to this, the Chasam Sofer asks, what did I gain by saying that Eretz Yisrael is a prospective property, and therefore Reuven did not get a double portion, because a firstborn doesn't get a double portion in prospective property, but since Reuven is the son of Yaakov, then Reuven is a firstborn son of a firstborn, and if so, then Reuven should get a double portion even in prospective property. That means that theoretically Yaakov Avinu did something wrong by transferring the property to Yosef. The Chasam Sofer answers that this rule is only when you are natural firstborn, but when you buy the firstbornship, then you are not considered to be a firstborn naturally, then your child is not considered a firstborn son of a firstborn. Therefore, in that case, you only take a double portion in possessed property and not in prospective property. And he explains that this is exactly what Yaakov Avinu is telling Yosef. Yaakov Avinu is telling Yosef that I am giving you a double portion. Are you going to ask me, how can you give me a double portion when the firstborn is Reuven, and Reuven theoretically is a firstborn son of firstborn, and even if you say it's Israel, is a prospective property, but nonetheless, since he's a firstborn son of a firstborn, he should get a double portion. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu says, Ashalokachti miyado emoiri. This is the firstborn that I bought from Esav, meaning I am not a natural born firstborn. I am a firstborn that bought his right from Esav. In that case, my son, the firstborn Reuven, is not considered a firstborn son of a firstborn, is considered a firstborn son of a regular person. And if he's considered a firstborn son of a regular person, then he does not get a double portion in prospective property. And since Eretz Yisrael is considered a prospective property, then I'm entitled to give that portion to whoever I want, and therefore I'm giving that portion to you, and I'm not transgressing the prohibition of not giving the firstborn his right. And Hashem Yisburg should help that Moshiach should come, and we should again possess the whole land of Israel, and he'll build the Beis HaMikdash, Bimheiru,